Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal, the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot. Welcome to the world of the paranormal. I'm Jason Ophir, and Pat Rice couldn't be with us tonight, but we have none other than psychic Cheryl Ann Fletcher. How are you doing, Cheryl?
I'm doing really good, Jason, and thanks for having me back on your show tonight.
It's always a pleasure to get you on, and really excited. It's been a really rush day for me. I had the finals today for my college program, and I had to scramble back home and get this up and running. So it's been a fun day. How's your day been?
Oh my goodness, mine has been crazy busy. I just come out of intro to psychology class tonight, covering lots of cool stuff on neurons and all sorts of cool receptors and things about our nervous system and the way we function in our nervous system. So it's been pretty cool tonight.
Yeah, I tell you, with everything I'm learning about all sorts of the biology and phlebotomy and laboratory stuff, it's amazing that there's a world inside our bodies that we don't see that we can test and visualize. It's very interesting, but it's not paranormal. So I should probably talk about the paranormal a little bit. So for tonight's show, the way we've got it planned out is the last 15 or so minutes, we will take callers. So if there's anybody in queue, I see there's one person there now. We'll take callers with the last 15 minutes, and Cheryl will be giving out readings, short readings. If we get a bunch of callers, it would be probably no longer than 5 minutes, so there'll be a limited amount of calls that we can take. But in the meantime, till we get to that point, I was doing some searching online, and I found the top 10 most haunted colleges in the Midwest. Now, you're from the Midwest, aren't you, Cheryl?
Yes, I am. I'm actually in Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Nebraska, and we were chatting a few moments earlier, and I don't even know where the states are. I think I'm really dumb. Like, I don't even know where Nebraska is or any of it. I know where the West Coast is, and that's about it. I feel really stupid.
Well, we're dead center in the map, almost.
Oh, so you're definitely in the Midwest. Well, maybe you've heard of some of these. So I have a list here, and I thought I could just kind of go down the list and read them, and then we can talk about them. And hopefully, maybe these are some of – maybe you've even ended up at one of these doing an investigation. But it's not in any particular order, but the first one I have is Northwest Missouri State University. It was founded in 1905 as – a teacher's college and was originally known as Fifth District Normal School. Its administration building has suffered several accidents. It was struck by a tornado in 1919 and fire destroyed most of its west wing and the central wing and auditorium in 1979. There was a different accident, however, that gave rise to Northwest Missouri State's most enduring legend. On April 28, 1951, a gas tank exploded outside Roberta Hall, and back then it was called Residence Hall. The fireball blew out many windows and injured several students. There were some people that received third-degree burns, over most of their body, and there were several people that lingered for several months before they died. So that sounds like Northwest Missouri State University has a history of some tragedy going on. There's some ghosts that have been spotted appearing as shadows or figures in windows. And so there's one ghost that they call Roberta that they name, and they seem to see most often. And so I guess Roberta Hall is named in her honor from the accidents. Are you familiar, Cheryl, with Northwest Missouri State? Have you heard about it being haunted?
I've heard about it. In fact, that's one that I want to go and try to hit this summer. I haven't personally been there yet, but I've heard the activity is, it speaks for itself, literally. So, yeah, it's supposed to be a really good one to go to. So, yeah, that's one I'm going to hit for sure.
I wonder if they're open to investigations. I wonder if you can just call and say, hey, can I investigate Roberta Hall? I have no idea what's in that hall, if it's a dormitory or what it is, but maybe they let people in there. I don't know.
You know, I haven't checked into it just yet because, again, that's on one of my wish lists to go to this summer.
Well,
so
if
I'll
I'm
be
ever
checking
in
into that one.
Yeah, if I'm ever in Missouri, I'll have to swing by and see if I can see any ghosts in the windows. So here's another one for you. Michigan State University. Michigan State, with nearly 48,000 students, is the ninth largest university in the United States in terms of enrollment and is one of the top public research universities in the country. It is also known for its collegiate sports teams, which are called the Spartans. While administrators are hesitant to discuss it for the last several decades, students have shared stories of a ghost named Bill who haunts Wharton Center for the Performing Arts. Bill is considered to be a protective presence and is rumored to be the ghost of a student who was beaten to death in the early 1980s. Some of the claims of activity are objects that move, doors that open and close, lights that turn on their own accord. And so there's a lot going on at Michigan State University. I wouldn't want to be like in a dormitory that's haunted. I don't know if that hall or the Performance Arts Center, what goes on there. I imagine dancing and all sort of performing stuff. But I just wouldn't want to be at a haunted college, I don't think. I think that would be distracting.
Well, it would be for me. You know, but... yeah, I don't know. I personally myself, you know, any haunting anywhere would be of great interest, you know, with what
well,
I do.
Now, you're
so.
You're very sensitive to that. And you've shared some pretty alarming stories of your own experiences. So if you're sensitive to that, I would imagine. Can you imagine studying or you're in the Performing Arts Center and you're like twirling batons or whatever they do there, a band, and an apparition is floating around and you can't concentrate.
Yeah, right. And it's trying to, you know, tap me on the shoulder to get my attention and so, you know, it can talk and get its story out. Sure.
So there you go. If anybody's in Michigan, you want to check out Michigan State University. There you go. It's haunted by a ghost named Bill who was beaten to death supposedly in 1980. So moving down the list here, we have, I've never heard of this university before, Milliken University. Have you heard of that one, Cheryl?
I've heard of Milliken, yes.
It's in Decatur, Illinois. I've been to Illinois when I was a private investigator doing surveillance, but I don't think I ever made it near Decatur. Have you ever been to Illinois?
Yes, I have. I went up actually for a seminar that I was in. It was Paranormal Unity for Philip Scoff. I went up there and we investigated two buildings there, but it was not this building. But yes, there's a lot of activity in Illinois.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. I'm in Oregon, so I imagine there's a lot of activity everywhere. But I know Oregon, we've got some pretty active places. I've been to some residences and done some investigations, but we have some historic locations. But I'm not too familiar with Illinois. Like I think when I was out there, because I did surveillance, I was like watching people and following them around. I wish I was there to do some paranormal investigating because that would be a lot more interesting than following people.
Well, definitely.
But so here we go. Milliken University began its career with great fanfare named after the man who bankrolled the school, James Milliken. It opened in 1903 and was dedicated by Teddy Roosevelt. That's a pretty cool honor there. Classes began on September 15th of that year. Its numerous ghost stories have their origins early on in its history. One story involving the light of a long-deceased railroad crossing watchman named Tommy. He's been on campus since the 1930s. The old gymnasium, now used primarily as a storage area, is the scene of echoes from days gone by. According to Troy Taylor, students have heard sounds of sports being played while alone in the abandoned gym, which is called Aston Hall, and was formerly an all-female dorm. It's reportedly haunted by the ghost of a young woman named Bernice, who committed suicide there in 1927. She roams the third floor, and only her upper body is visible. Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Haunted dormitory. Can you imagine, you know, walking in the hallway, coming, you know, back to your room and 1 a.m. and see the upper body of a ghost cruising the hallway? That's the stuff that nightmares are made out of.
Hey, I tell you what, that'd be fascinating. But anyway.
Yeah, not fascinating to me. I'd probably run back in my room, lock the door, and say a bunch of Hail Marys and pour salt around the windows and the door and say, "Be gone, evil spirit." But
right on.
I watch too many movies, Cheryl, so that is largely the extent of my fear, because I haven't encountered that sort of thing on a paranormal investigation. I know you've encountered scary stuff, but most of the investigations I've been on have been exceedingly boring.
Aww. Well, we'll have to get you into one of ours, Jason.
I don't know. I might be that guy that just is too frightened.
Aww.
But you never know.
But if you go with me, you won't be so scared, I promise.
Well, yeah, because I'll be standing behind you. Because
right.
You know, there's no way I'm there's no way I'm walking point on an investigation.
No, I'll be ahead of you so I can pre-warn you as to what's coming, all right?
That's right, and you're good at that too. I remember some of your experiences you were telling us that you're very adept at detecting that. So the minute if we ever go on an investigation together, the minute that you sense something dark and evil, you give me the secret hand signal or whatever. And then
I'll give you that look.
Yeah, give me that look.
I'll give you a look.
All right, here's another one. Here's one from Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Marquette University. Marquette University was founded in 1881 as a Jesuit Roman Catholic university and named after the 17th century missionary and explorer Father, I have trouble with this friend, Jacques Marquette. J-A-C-Q-U-E-S. How's that pronounced? Jacques Marquette.
Jacques.
It is situated. Yeah, that works for me. I don't know if that's correct or not, but it's Paranormal Horizons, so we don't expect perfection here.
Right.
It is situated near the heart of Milwaukee. Johnston Hall's oldest academic building at Marquette, and was reportedly built over an American Indian settlement. Yeah, that's never good. Yeah. Yeah, don't build things on settlements or burial grounds. That's asking for trouble.
Oh.
Actually, some people did say it was a burial ground. It was originally used as a home for Marquette's Jesuit professors, and a priest allegedly hung himself in his room on the fifth floor. Yikes, that's not good. The ghosts of children haunt other parts of the campus, and so there's a lot going on there. They hear like children screaming on the fifth floor. There's a ghost of a young girl who's been seen, and she's apparently a shy ghost because she vanishes when approached. And there's a ghost called Whispering Willie, a boy who drowned in a pool when it was home to a YMCA. So you've got everything. You've got drowning boys, shy ghost girls, hopefully not ones that crawl the ceiling like in the movie The Grudge. Oh, wait, no, that was the Grudge, I think that was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Marquette University. And I'm looking at a picture of
it
looks kind of eerie.
Never heard of that one, but hey, that sounds like a one to consider.
Yeah, so if you're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, check out Marquette University, and See if you can find the shy ghost girl and the drowning boy.
Well, I think the piece of that would be most interesting as to the why the priest hung himself. Now, that opens a huge door. You know?
Yeah, go into that a little bit. Like, what is there any additional spiritual significance to that? Or is a priest more likely to become a ghost? Or, you know?
Well, you know, because he's in Christ, I'm sure, without a doubt, Jason, that, you know, we all hear that, you know, suicide, you don't get accepted into heaven. But that is not true. You know, I saw my brother there, so I know different. My brother committed suicide. But what concerns me is what drove him to committing suicide. What kind of, you know, influence was there that wasn't good? What
mm-hmm.
You know, I guess I'm going to open up that piece to the idea that what demonic force, because to me it would have been something that was not good, you know, that would have pushed him into doing something like that, or if it was himself, in fact, making that decision. So that would make me want to go there.
So it could be, so there are suicides where people might be mentally ill or really depressed.
Yes.
And that's
yeah.
one type of suicide. And then you're saying that there is another type of suicide where, you know, demonic influence somebody to kill themselves. But you're saying, I mean, in either case, in your opinion, regardless of how they commit suicide, they still go to heaven?
Oh, absolutely. My brother committed suicide. And my first vision, like we've talked about before, was his prior death. And I saw it, you know, before it happened. And then long after, of course, I have been able to connect with my brother. And I know for a fact he's in heaven. He's told me so. So,
yeah,
God forgives you for everything. He's a forgiving God. You know, he acts on our behalf but he, like our lawyer, you know, I consider him our lawyer when it comes to, you know, God, and he defends us for our mistakes, and, you know, he's an all-forgiving God, regardless of what you do.
Yeah, it seems kind of a narrow view to say that everybody that kills themselves goes, or, you know, goes to hell or doesn't go to heaven. I mean, because there's
right.
a lot of, you know, influences in people's lives. I mean, there's chemical imbalances. People are subject to a whole lot of tragedy that causes them to do things, so it's, I just think that
yep.
It wouldn't make sense just to say, you know, just a blanket thing where, okay, you killed yourself, you're not getting into heaven.
Yeah, you're damned forever. No, No, I don't
yeah.
believe that for a second, especially after knowing so from my brother. So.
So let me ask you this. What a lot of people have different beliefs on what heaven is. To you, what is your opinion of heaven? You know, are we talking pearly gates, living in the clouds, or is it something else?
Well, what I saw, to be very clear and very specific on that question, what I saw when I went up there, well, when I went to that dimension is what I call it, because I went through three. When I entered, it was very peaceful. You know, before you go in, of course, what people say about the bright light, and stuff of that nature. Yes, you do see that. When I went into, three different dimensions. One was being able to be weightlessness, and then it went from that to being able to hear, the sounds of, like, I describe it as kind of like a really gusty wind. And then after that, I was able to see. And what I saw with my vision and being able to see what heaven looked like, it was very peaceful. It was interesting because when I got there, I saw a lot of, and I've mentioned this in the past on your show, it just so reminds me of Close Encounters of the Third
mm-hmm.
Kind. And what I mean clearly by that, there's a specific scene in that movie where, you know, you can barely make out shadow. It looks like shadow figure. And then, you know, intuitionally, I knew right away it was my family. And my brother came forward, and I was able to see his face very clearly. So,
wow.
You know, you go through dimension. You go through dimensions. And, you know, whoever's listening tonight, I always make sure that I say, please don't fear death. I tell you what, when I came back, I thought to myself, man, I really wish I hadn't. Because that was the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced. Even though I came back for a reason, apparently, to help mankind.
Now, what about these neuroscientists that say that, well, there's no, you know, spirit world, it's all release of certain chemicals in your brain when you die, or your brain lacking oxygen, and all that?
No, let me hit on that. There's a gentleman, he was a neuroscientist that actually did die, and I did a paper on him for Doan College here in Lincoln because we were studying religion in the afterlife, and I speak on a lot of symposiums for my teacher, Lee Tacy, in his religion classes, and I did a paper on that guy, and he had same experiences, and I can't recall the guy's name right off the bat, but he was a medical, if I remember right, neurologist or something like that, and he really was a skeptic before his death that, you know, the afterlife, it was just a bunch of scientific hogwash. Well, when he did have his passing, he came back, and now he promotes against scientific explanation that there is definitely an afterlife, and he came back with evidence. So now his way of thinking has changed completely, and again, you don't know until you've been there.
Yeah, I would like to believe that there's a heaven, but I think it's one of those things that you have to experience yourself to really truly understand it. But now, if there is a heaven, there's these dimensions we go to, then it would make sense that there's a hell. Do you believe that spirit is sent, you know, to torment in a lake of fire for eternity, or is that just a Bible thing?
Jason, here's my philosophy in that, in my theory. We are already in hell. There is no reason in my mind that would deter my thinking in that perspective. Otherwise, we wouldn't have rape, murder, torment, behavioral issues, all the garbage that we endure on Earth. Now, my perception is, and this is my opinion, my perception, is that we are already living in hell, and then there is a heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my stance.
I've always wondered if, well, maybe, you know, our life here on Earth is hell, and because it makes sense, you can't escape. There's nowhere to run to. It almost seems
right, like
it could be a prison. So maybe, and then when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about, well, what the hell did I do to get here?
You know what? Another theory I have on that for your listeners and for yourself, I believe 100% that we have already been here, and we keep coming back until we repeat it complete, like Christ-like, and then we move on.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm going to be coming back a lot.
Well, you know.
I think I'm I'm a ways away from being Christ-like, but I would like to think I'm making, you know, slow and steady process towards that.
Right.
So perhaps in the year 2930, I will have achieved it, but it's not going to be in the next 100 lives, I don't think. But you never know.
Well, I'm trying.
Miracles could happen. All
exactly.
Right, so we'll move on here. We got another one, Iowa State University. founded in 1858 as Iowa State College of Agriculture and Mechanic Arts. The college name was changed to Iowa State University of Science and Technology in 1959. It is a large public university with a student population of over 33,000. While it's known for its degree programs in agriculture, engineering, science, ISU is also home to less rational elements. Ooh, there's something going on there. Fisher Theater is said to be haunted by the ghost of Frederica Shattuck. Her contributions to theater department led to the Shattuck, interesting last name, theater being named after her. Shattuck Theater was later torn down, and according to Cynthia Thulma and Catherine Lower's book, Creepy Colleges and Haunted University, Shattuck's ghost moved to the Fisher Theater. Students hear disembodied voices, and a wheelchair that belonged to Shattuck reportedly moves on its own. The Farmhouse Museum is supposed to be haunted by the ghosts of two sisters. They hear moans, and there's just a lot of moaning going on at Iowa State University. What's going on there?
Now, you know what I found fascinating about that is that the number 33 came up, and we all know that Cheryl has a number that has been following me since I was 11, which is number 33. So that is definitely on my bucket list now, because every time I hear the word 33, or the number 33, it tells me I need to be on that path. Or I have confirmation when I am on the right path. I see 33s everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're talking about seeing numbers, and I've talked about this before on the show, but I don't know if it was with you or not, but I see 11-11 constantly. Like, it just so just happened to glance at the clock, 11-11, you know, and sometimes, you know, twice a day, it's kind of weird, and I've looked at it online, and I kind of, what I've learned online is kind of the whole awakening thing. Well, what's the significance of 11-11, and what's the significance of 33, or do they have the same significance, or are they totally different?
When I see mine personally, I'm on the right track. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with my gift. And when you're seeing your numbers at 11, it is your calling at that point to stop and look and see what you're doing if you feel that it's correct for you.
So, like, whatever action I'm doing at that moment, or is that more of a general thing? Okay.
No.
See, I never looked at it that way.
Right,
I always looked at it on a broader
moment.
Sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Right at that moment.
So if I see it driving my car, does that mean I need to evaluate my driving ability, or?
I would say probably evaluate your environment as well as your outside environment, and make sure you're traveling with your GPS on the right mode.
So if I see it when I'm in the drive-thru of Del Taco and I'm going to get the two taco special, I should reevaluate that maybe I should get the burrito instead.
Very well could be, yes. Yes, it's telling you to stop and think about what you're doing, and is that correct for how you feel at the time?
Okay. See, I never actually thought of that. I never thought that I should kind of analyze the situation around me precisely right around the time I see that number. So I'm going to do that now because you said that. Every time I see it, I'm going to see what I'm doing.
What I would want you to do is write down what you're doing and then really think about it, or really take note of what you're doing and go, does this feel like I should be doing this at that moment? And should I continue with which direction I was heading? It's kind of like giving you an out to stop and think. You know, the integrity piece of it. Is it right or wrong?
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. I don't do a lot of wrong things, but I'm definitely going to spend more time analyzing it a little bit more.
Perfect.
Because I think it was weird. I mean, it was just, it's, at one point it was just, every time the clock could read 11:11, I was seeing 11:11, and I was just kind of tripped out by it. Yeah, to me, you know, I'm always Mr. Skeptical. I'm always thinking that, well, it's some internal body clock or some random thing, but when you start seeing it so much, it really kind of makes you wonder.
Right. Well, it's supposed to make you wonder.
Yeah. So
You know,
we're
when life has wondering.
Yep. I like to wonder. I wonder all the time. But it looks like we're at the halfway point here. I thought maybe we could take a little comedic break from an audio that Edwin Becker sent us. And let's just do that. We'll come back in a couple minutes and finish off the list. I got a couple more. So here we go.
Sounds good.
This is author Edwin F. Becker. My success with 1-800-RENT-A-GHOST has been such that I have a whole new enterprise. It is for those that are thinking, man, I can't wait for that zombie apocalypse. Well, I have the answer for you. Dial 1-800-OWN-A-ZOMBIE. You'll be the center of attention wherever you go. What a surprise those Jehovah Witnesses will get when they knock on your door. Are you the black sheep of the family? Just think of the terror you can bring to that next family gathering. I'll bet you never knew fat old Uncle Ned could jump tables and run so fast. Or, take your zombie to the next high school reunion. You can turn him loose on those nerdy brainiacs that made fun of you and say goodbye to their high IQs. Laid off from your executive job? Take your special friend to the boardroom to help you say farewell to your boss.
Give
that a new meaning to the term budget cuts. Neighbors giving you problems making noise? Introduce them to your new pal and stand back, because all will be quiet very soon. You'll be waiting for that next a-hole to look at you and say, bite me. Because anyone who gives you the finger really does give you the finger.
Excuse me, kind sir.
Dial 1-800-OWN-A-ZOMBIE. Order now and get the free book, Sewing on Limbs Can Be Creative. Not responsible for infectious disease, death, mayhem, severed limbs, cannibalism, paranoia, loss of sanity, nor that god-awful stench. And one more thing. There will be no returns.
There will be no returns. That is author Edwin Becker, who wrote the book True Haunting, which is an amazing book. So I encourage everyone out there to check that out. It was one of the few, I don't read at all, ever. And I did get a chance to read that book, and it was absolutely incredible. I couldn't put it down. No joke. So everybody should check that out. So we are back. And so I have a couple more here to read. And here's one college that I've heard of a lot of before. I don't know anything about. The University of Notre Dame was founded in 1842 by Father Edward Sorin, a Catholic priest, and was an all-male institution until 1972. Notre Dame is famous for its football team, Fighting Irish, It was this athletic legacy that gave birth to the university's most enduring legends. In 1920, George the Gipper Gip, God, what a great name, was selected as Notre Dame's first All-American football player. Unfortunately, he died of a streptococcal throat infection at the age of 25 on December 14, 1920. Students say that the ghost of the Gip still haunts his old room in Washington Hall, which is now home to the university's drama club. Poltergeist activity has also been encountered there. In addition to props falling and music playing on its own, one janitor saw an elderly balding man who asked him to help him open a window before vanishing. According to the legend, the ghosts of American Indians roam the ground around Columbus Hall, which is built on land formerly owned by the Potawatomi. So that sounds kind of dangerous when you have props falling and stuff like that. And here again, here's a place that was constructed on a land that was operated by the Potawatomi Indians. What do you think, Cheryl?
Potawatomi?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm saying that. It's Potawatomi.
Yeah.
Potawatomi.
Yeah, it's called Potawatomi. Oh, now I've got it wrong. Potawatomi County or Potawatomi. Yeah, I've heard of this place. And as everybody knows that knows me, I've always said everything's in the ground. The number one reason why those things happened or do happen is because somebody has lifted something off that ground that they should have never taken, and it needs to be returned, and then the things will calm down. But, yeah, you don't take anything from a burial ground because whatever, well, even with when you get, you know, go to auctions or you go to places and things, you know, we are attached to our material objects, and, well, especially in a burial ground. You never disturb a burial ground. Never.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you brought up kind of an interesting point about never taking anything. And this is one of the things that I'm skeptical on, which is haunted objects, that people can haunt objects. But you say that it is certainly the case that people can imbue their essence in an object. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I can tell you one experience to prove that. I can prove that.
Oh, well, yeah, give us a story. Oh. Give us a story.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My mother-in-law, now I'm not going to name her name, she does a lot of auctions, and she does a lot of garage selling from estates. And she brought home a deer, a statue of this deer laying down on a bed, right? And it had super big antlers. And I'd never seen it before. And she brought it into the house. And at the time, I had moved out. My ex and I had been living there. And I had moved out, came back to collect some of my other stuff. And the minute before I walked into that door, I turned and looked at my ex, Mark, and I said, "What has she brought home?" And he goes, "What do you mean?" And I said, "What has she brought home recently?" And he goes, "Well, heck, I don't know. She collects a lot of things." I said, "She's brought home something from an auction, and I'm feeling like it's a statue." And he said, "Yeah, she just had purchased a deer, and it was kind of grayish, greenish." And I said, "Oh, my God." And before I walked through the door, I told Mark at that time, "It needs to be gone." Well, I told her that it needed to be removed from the property, and she refused to do it. Mark and I sat, and we watched that thing move. And the next morning I got up, it was on the ground, but on the carpeting. Oh, heck yeah, mm-hmm. I don't care. Yeah, down. It does happen.
So you saw it like total. Like what did it do? Just like slide an inch, or like how was it moving?
What it did? It was on top of a fireplace mantle, and it slid about a foot.
Oh well, there's no. Yeah, that would be kind of noticeable.
And Jason, that thing was as heavy as a half of a cinder block weight. I mean, it was like a heavy paper. Well, and the thing was probably 7 inches long. The body alone off the part of the, what it would look like a ground, was probably 4 inches the back of it, you know, because it was laying on its legs. So it raised up about 4 inches, and the head alone was another 6. And this thing was heavy. And when that thing can move, oh, my God, yeah.
Wow. So what happened to it? Did you just, like...
Well, the end story to this is that when she sold the house, of course, she got rid of it, and it's no longer present, and she's moved since, but it's no mm-hmm. longer an object.
So if I'm a guy and I'm in an estate sale and I got something that I think is haunted, is it not a good idea to, like, burn it or destroy it, or do you bury it, or
no,
just give it
heavens,
to somebody you
oh,
hate
heavens,
or
no.
What?
No, I recommend to anybody that goes to any auctions or any type of garage selling, especially when someone has passed away, to take it and have it blessed. Have it blessed by a church or a pastor or somebody. Cleanse it and then take it home. Don't take it home and then have it cleansed, because you're bringing that in your home.
Can anybody cleanse it? Well, you said anybody, so it doesn't have to be like a priest or anything?
It needs to be someone who is skilled in cleansing, and they know what they're doing, and they've been proven to be able to do such a thing, as well as a church. Take it to a church.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about these people that go out and they collect specifically these artifacts? You know, they fill a room with haunted artifacts. I imagine you probably think that that's a bad idea.
No, I don't think it's too cool. No, not unless you're really, not unless you're using it for educational purposes to document and also bring evidence, you know, to the Paranormal Society. You know, so that, if it's used as an educational tool, I mean, you're going into it, you know, you're going into it. And you could be blindsided, but, you know, if you're going into it for the right reasons, you know, if you're doing something to educate and promote the paranormal, you got to do it with total caution, and you got to be able to know what you're doing. But, you know, if you're not into that and you don't want no type of attachment to you or your home, then I suggest getting that stuff handled before you bring it home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't want something like that in my house. But I just thought of, have you ever heard of, and there was a movie done on this that, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but the Dybbuk box, you know, the ancient Jewish thing where they seal the spirit inside of a box with a bunch of, like, relics and stuff like that. Are you familiar with that?
Yep, I sure am.
Yeah, there was a
in
movie
it?
On it. It fascinates me because I know that, like, if you go on eBay, you see people selling what they claim to be these boxes, and there's actually YouTube videos of people opening them and stuff. It's interesting, but I was wondering if you believe that can certain clergy or whatever, in this instance, the Jewish faith, where they can trap this entity, much like in Ghostbusters, without the electronics in a wooden box. Do you believe in that?
Well, you know, I don't have anything against religion because I walk in Christ. And my thoughts are is, how do you steal a spirit when they're everywhere? They go through everything. They move around when they want to. They're travelers. They go everywhere. How do you really steal them?
That's what I would think. I wouldn't think that, you know, you'd be able
to
do that.
Personally, my personal opinion, with what I do, well then, why aren't all these spirits already sealed somewhere anyway?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I have a hard time believing in it. Not saying that, you know, somebody hasn't had a good success with it for a short time, but, you know, I just got to tell you, that even when, you know, your spirit travels everywhere. The only person in my life, in my thought, that can feel a spirit would be Christ himself.
Right. Well, maybe I'm sealed. Maybe we're all sealed in a box and we just don't know it. Now, there's a scary thing.
See, and there you go. That goes right to my theory that we're already in hell.
Yeah, scary. I'm locked in a box and that just looks like earth and living. But that may be too deep for the listeners. So I see that we have about 15 minutes left. Are you up on taking a caller?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's take this caller here.
Okay.
Caller from 561. You're on Paranormal Horizons.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling to see what pick up on my career.
I'm sorry?
I'm calling to see what you pick up on my career.
You're calling to find out about your career.
Yep.
First of all, you're not in the right career.
What do you see me in?
I see you need to be in school teaching. Are you a teacher?
No.
Okay. You need to be in teaching. You have a great mind, and you're very educated.
Interesting.
So, do you feel like that's correct for you?
Sort of, but no.
Well, I tell you what, what I'm pulling from you is a career in education, as in like a paraeducator, kind of like teaching, a good teaching ability, because you convey what you say to people very, very good. You have a good way of communication. Do you write a lot?
Do I what?
Do you write a lot?
Not yet. I'm going to.
So, that's where I'm heading. Are you working on some type of a, I want to say something. To me, what I'm seeing is like a lot of notebook writing.
Yep, I write longhand.
Okay. Well, I want you to know, are you working on a book?
Yep.
Oh, my. Does it have to do with children?
No.
Okay. Why not?
I don't know. I just, that isn't, it wasn't on my radar.
Okay. Here again, you're a great educator. You need to write a child's book. Are you a grandparent?
No.
Okay. Is there anything in the future for you to become a grandparent?
No.
Okay. Have you ever, I'm feeling children a lot around you. Have you ever done any type of, like, you know, day caring?
That's not my stick.
That's what? I'm sorry?
That's not my stick.
Okay. Well, the reason why I'm pulling that from you is because you have a great knack for kids, even though they drive you crazy.
And
now,
that's that I don't like children.
I know, but you know, you attract to children quite a bit.
Oh, I do have that issue when I walk through a airport. Any little kids that's lost, they're attached to my leg.
Well, that's because they sense in you that you are a grandparent in your heart. You have a lot of love for children.
They're like, swap, and they're like, where's your parents?
Where do you belong? They come to you. That's because they come to you because they feel the sense of safety with you.
Thank you. Anything else you
You're
can
welcome.
Tell?
Jason, did I lose her?
No,
I'm
I
here.
Think she won. I think she wanted to know if you had, if you picked up anything else.
About your financial, your finances.
So what do you get?
Are you on like a social security or disability?
No.
Okay. I'm feeling like, are you waiting on an inheritance?
Not that I know of. There's one coming?
Yeah.
Oh, really? From where?
Really. It'll be from the death of a family member.
I don't know anybody that's rich. Everybody
well,
in
you're
my
not
family
supposed
poor
to know.
Huh?
Honey, let me just tell you, not everybody will tell anybody they're rich.
Oh, I know that, but I just meant that I don't have anybody that's wealthy or anything.
That you know of.
Everybody's dead.
Oh, but it is, honey, it is from a distant family member, and you'll be notified of that in about 7 months out.
Well, cool beans. I'll accept that. Thank you very much.
I like
you. You're very welcome, and you have a great evening.
You too, sweetie.
Okay, babe.
All right,
bye.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
You know, she was talking about, you know, kids hanging on to her. I have the opposite effect on children. When kids
really?
See me, they run. Yeah, they run the other way.
And Jason, you're a very tall figured person though too, and you're very, you know, stout. And sometimes, you know, the appearance of towering has that effect on children.
You can say it. I look scary. I know.
No. Jason, no, you are so not scary. Give me a break.
Any place I've ever worked, people were always terrified of me. And I'm like the nicest, softest, cuddly little kitten bear ever. I don't know what a kitten bear is. But if there was such a thing, that would be me.
Jason, that's their loss.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess my magnetic personality isn't strong enough to get people over the way I look. But it was funny because I was in, you know, I'm doing a practicum, you know, drawing people's blood. And I had to get people from the lobby. And there was this one lady that I, you know, I opened the door and I called her name. And she was, she made a comment after I'd walked away. And, you know, it was kind of like one of those things where it's, thank God, you know, I don't have to deal with that guy. Because that's just the way I look. I just look, I look like a, I don't even know what I look like, but it, apparently it, it scares people. but anyway, that's not paranormal. I don't think my looks are paranormal yet. Anyway.
No, that is not.
Yeah. So I see that we have 9 or so minutes left, and I want to make sure so that I don't forget that to give you a chance to let everybody know how people can contact you if they want a reading or whatever.
Okay. I have several ways for people to contact me. One would be on Facebook. It would be under Cheryl Ann Elliott with 2 T's, which is E-L-L-I-O-T-T, and then the last name of Fletcher, F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R. And then the other way they can contact me beyond that scope would be my email, and that would be, and it's long, so get ready to write it down. It's
everybody
Cheryl.
Get your pen out.
I'm sorry?
Oh, sorry, I was just saying, everybody get your pen out.
Okay, it's Cheryl, C-H-E-R-Y-L, at Extraordinary Connection with Cheryl Ann.com. Again, that's Cheryl at Extraordinary Connection with Cheryl Ann.com. And that's all in one. Lowercase. And then the other way they can get a hold of me would be through my telephone number, which I have no trouble giving out on the air, is 402, which is a Nebraska area code. So again, 402-217-6334. Again, 402-217-6334. And another way is to just to instant message me on Facebook. And again, that's under Cheryl Ann Elliott Fletcher.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I think we can wrap this up here. I want to thank you, Cheryl, for helping out with the show tonight. Pat Rice should be back next week. And I think we're going to do a paranormal comedy. And if anybody's ever missed that, that's something you're not going to want to miss because it's crazy. We kind of look at the lighter side of the paranormal. We have people call in, and it's completely fictitious, but it's so outrageous. And it's good for a laugh. So that way we can laugh at ourselves and have a little bit of fun on the paranormal, because as most of us know, there is a lot of paranormal that goes on, or paranormal drama that goes on out there, and we just like to have a little fun. And then also want to invite everyone to check out our Facebook page at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And also, I'm also available to do help make commercials if you have a book in the paranormal or paranormal group or whatever. I'm kind of busy now, but I do make stuff and put it together. And so if anybody's interested in having a soundbite for their own show, a voiceover, it can be anything. Intro, extra, I'll do it. Personally, I hate my voice. but it's always a pleasure to get on there and be a little bit creative, because it's really my only creative time. I don't get to be creative in school very much. So, but with that, I think we'll close the show. I want to thank everybody for calling and or coming to the show, and I want to thank the caller for calling in, and especially thank, again, Cheryl Ann for all her help tonight. So thank you, Cheryl.
You are very welcome, Jason. It was always a pleasure.
Awesome. So I hope everybody has a fantastic night, and be sure to check us out next Tuesday, 7 p.m. And you can also listen to the show Fridays at, I can't even remember now. Actually, I'll leave that out because I can't remember the time. But you can also catch us out on 106.5 KITC FM in Central Oregon and 107.3 KNCP in Central Oregon as well. We are not just on Blog Talk Radio. And with that, everybody have a fantastic evening, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons only on 106.5 KITC FM and 107.3 KNCP-FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join Jason Ophir and Pat Rice next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as we explore the world of the paranormal. And always be sure to visit us on Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.